This is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. The human papillomavirus, or HPV, vaccine has been around for about 8 years, but only about 33% of girls and about 7% of boys have received it. It's been controversial because many say it will affect a girl's sexual activity after receiving it, but a new study shows that is not the case. We're going to talk about the HPV vaccine today and then later in the hour, how to beat the winter blues. First, joining me to talk about the HPV vaccine are Assistant Chair of Academic Affairs and Faculty Development at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center and UC Department of Pediatrics Professor Dr. Jessica Kahn, Children's Hospital Assistant Professor of Pediatrics Dr. Tanya Mullins, and Allison Mayhew, a medical student at UC College of Medicine and first author of a just-released HPV study. We'll discuss the perceptions and reality of the vaccine. You can join the conversation calling 513-419-7100 or email us talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I think people have heard of HPV, but they're not really sure what it is. And maybe Dr. Kahn, you can start out telling us, what is it?
HPV, human papillomavirus, is a very common sexually transmitted infection. It's a virus, and some types of HPV may cause cancers, so cervical cancer and other genital cancers in women, and anal cancers in men and women, as well as head and neck cancers. And other types of HPV can cause genital warts in both men and women.
So it strictly is a sexually transmitted disease then?
Yes, it is a sexually transmitted infection, but it can be spread by skin-to-skin contact as well as more intimate contact. So genital skin-to-skin contact may be responsible for transmission.
Everybody agree there. Dr. Mullins, did you want to tell us a little bit about the vaccine? How long has it been around and what does it do?
Sure. So there's actually two different HPV vaccines that are on the market. One is a vaccine that protects against two of the different types of HPV. There's about 140 different kinds of HPV that have been identified. The other vaccine protects against the four different kinds of HPV, two of which are most closely linked with cervical cancer and two of which are most closely linked with genital warts. So the two vaccines have been around for several years. The current recommendations to give the vaccine for girls and boys, the vaccine type that contains protection against the four different types of HPV, is recommended for ages 11 and 12 with catch-up vaccination up through age 26 for girls and up to age 22 for boys. The vaccine that contains protection against the two types of HPV is recommended for girls only, again, starting at ages 11 and 12, but both of the vaccines can be given down to ages 9 or 10.
Do you need both of them?
You don't need both of them. You need either one or the other. The real difference is whether or not the protection against the HPV types that cause genital warts is there. One type of vaccine has that protection and the other does not.
Is there a reason to choose one over the other?
For the boys, it's the only vaccine type that's recommended for the boys is the type that also provides the protection against genital warts because boys don't get cervical cancer. But otherwise, that's really the big difference between the two vaccines.
Now, there has been some concern when it first came out. It's been, I think, about 8 years that the vaccine has been out. There's been some concern and people were afraid to do it because they said it would just encourage their children to become sexually active. And Allison, you've done some research on that. Tell us what you found.
So the research that we did essentially looked at girls ages 13 to 21 after they had been vaccinated, looked to see if they had any change in their perception of their risk perceptions for other sexually transmitted infections or their perception of need for behaving safer sexually after they were vaccinated. And essentially, it kind of goes to the idea that once you've been vaccinated, first you have to have a change in how you perceive your risk, and then will have a behavior change as a result. So the fear is that you'll be vaccinated and have a behavior change. And our research essentially looks at whether or not you will be vaccinated, have a change in your perception of risk, and thus have a change in your behavior.
And you found?
We found that there was no correlation between vaccination and then the change in risk perception, and behavior change.
So basically, to take this as simply as I can, and you tell me if I've simplified too far, is that some people fear that if they give their daughters, or for that matter, their sons, this vaccine, they will then think they're protected from things, they're from sexually transmitted diseases, therefore they can go out and be sexually active, and therefore they won't use other protections, or they'll be freer to be sexually active. And what you're saying is this doesn't seem to affect that. Is that sort of in a nutshell?
That's correct, right. So we looked at about 339 girls, and we measured these two risk perceptions at baseline, so belief in the need for safer sexual behaviors after vaccination and perceptions that the HPV vaccine would protect against sexually transmitted infections other than HPV. And then we measured those immediately after vaccination and then looked at sexual behaviors over the next 6 months. And we divided the sample into girls who had not had sex yet. We called those the sexually inexperienced girls, and girls who had had sex. We called that group the sexually experienced girls. And what we found was among the sexually inexperienced girls, risk perceptions at baseline did not predict sexual initiation over the next 6 months.
Risk perceptions at baseline. I don't know what that means.
Tell me what that means. The risk perceptions at baseline were belief in the need for safer sexual behaviors at baseline and belief that the vaccine protected against sexually transmitted infections other than HPV.
And baseline means just when you started the survey?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Immediately after they were vaccinated, we measured those two beliefs. And those beliefs did not predict, they were not linked to sexual initiation over the next 6 months. And then in the group of girls at the first visit who were sexually experienced, who had had sex in the past, those beliefs at baseline, immediately after vaccination, were not linked over the next 6 months to their behaviors, to their sexual behaviors. So number of sexual partners or condom use at last sex. So the bottom line really is that we found that both in the sexually inexperienced and the sexually experienced girls, their beliefs at baseline when they were vaccinated did not predict sexual behaviors over the next 6 months.
Now, something that, and this is slightly off topic, but it definitely comes up with what you said. You talked about how you talked to girls who were and were not sexually active. If we're talking about 11 and 12-year-olds, do we have a lot of 11 and 12-year-old girls that are sexually active?
No, we don't. Actually, this study was done in 13 to 21-year-olds, so we did not enroll 11 to 12-year-olds in the study.
Just checking, because people are going to say, well, of course not. They're 11 years old. They're probably not even doing that. So you did a wide range of ages then as you did the study. So what do you recommend? You're both doctors. You see patients and their parents regularly. When you have 10, 11, 12-year-old girls and boys come in, what do you talk about with their parents in terms of the vaccination and why?
So both Dr. Khan and I see patients, and I know that when I'm speaking with parents about the HPV vaccine, I talk about what HPV is, because I think a lot of people aren't aware of HPV quite to the same degree as people are aware of other sexually transmitted infections. So we talk about the virus, we talk about how it's transmitted, we talk about the health problems that can come down the line with HPV infection, including cervical cancer. And then I talk about how well the vaccine protects against human papillomavirus. I talk about the recommendations, I talk about how safe the vaccine is, and then I ask the parents if they have other questions.
And what kind of reactions do you get?
I think for the most part, parents have heard more about the HPV vaccine maybe than a lot of other vaccines, because there's been so much debate about it as it's been coming down the line. But I think for the most part, parents have been pretty accepting of the vaccine.
Are there any side effects?
There are some side effects associated with the vaccine, and most of those side effects are what we call minor or mild side effects, and they are similar to the side effects that one might get receiving other vaccines, so redness or swelling or pain at the site of the injection. Sometimes teenagers and young adults will faint when they get a vaccine, and that's not unique to the HPV vaccine. That's true for any vaccine, and that's not exactly caused by the vaccination itself, but caused by the nervousness or anxiety that one gets when one gets a vaccine. So those are what we consider pretty minor side effects. And about 57 million doses of HPV vaccines have been distributed in the U.S. since licensing, and we have not noticed any significant safety concerns after vaccination. So we're really pretty confident that both of these HPV vaccines that are licensed are safe.
We're talking about HPV and the HPV vaccine this afternoon, and my guests are, Assistant Chair of Academic Affairs and Faculty Development at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center and UC Department of Pediatrics Professor Dr. Jessica Kahn, Children's Hospital Assistant Professor of Pediatrics Dr. Tanya Mullins, and Allison Mayhew, a medical student at UC College of Medicine and the first author of a just-released HPV study. We'd like to take your questions and your comments. If you have anything you'd like to ask us about the vaccine, give us a call, or ask the guests, I should say, 513-419-7100. That's 513-419-7100. You can email us, talk@wvxu.org. You can also put your questions on Facebook or Twitter. One other thing that I think is kind of interesting, or perhaps confusing to some, is you talk about 11, 12, 13 is the time to start the vaccine, but there's a cutoff point. Why is it not something you can do at any time in your life?
Yeah, that's a great question. The reason that the recommendations to vaccinate between 11 and 26 years of age were made is that those are the age groups that the clinical trials were conducted in. So the clinical trials were done first in women 16 to 26 years of age, and then were extended down to age 11. So because we have data on effectiveness of the vaccine and safety of the vaccine in that age group, that's the age that the vaccines are recommended. In addition, it's really important to receive the HPV vaccines before exposure to the virus. So both of the currently licensed vaccines are preventive vaccines. So they prevent infection with HPV, but they cannot treat infection with HPV. So once someone has been exposed to an HPV type that one of the current vaccines targets, the vaccine is not effective. So very important to vaccinate young men and young women before they have exposure to HPV, and that's why the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has recommended a target age group for vaccination of 11 to 12 years of age, because that's the age at which we can be fairly sure that girls and boys have not yet been exposed to HPV.
And that's really just they haven't been sexually active. That's what you're. That's the way they'd be exposed for the most part.
Correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit more about the study. Why did you decide to take this up and other, were you looking at anything else or just truly the relationship between sexual activity?
I think that in terms of this study, it was kind of based on a lot of previous studies that have been done that have shown kind of risky behaviors in adolescents. So because HPV is transmitted through sexually transmitted or through sexual activity, and because we know the risky behaviors that are kind of associated with this, really the study kind of mainly looks at I think the main goals of the study are generally based on risky behaviors.
The study is a follow-up to one that we had previously published, so this is a really nice follow-up to that study. So we had looked at the baseline risk perceptions data that both Allison and Dr. Kahn have already talked about, and we found that that in general, the vast majority of girls still thought that practicing safer sex was really important after they got the vaccine, and very, very, very few girls thought that they were protected from other sexually transmitted infections by the vaccine. So that was really great information. But this study takes that to the next level and shows that with these risk perceptions, even in the very small number of girls who may have inappropriate risk perceptions, meaning that they feel protected from other sexually transmitted infections other than HPV, they're still not practicing riskier sex. They're still not becoming sexually active.
Victoria's on the phone from Loveland. If you have a question or a comment, our number is 513-419-7100. Hi, Victoria. What's your question?
Hi. I was just wondering if I thought, you know, if I really believed that my son or daughter at age 11, they were not sexually active, and their pediatrician recommended that they get this this vaccination. I mean, is it just really up to me if I should get my children vaccinated? Or, I mean, I know you were saying it was highly recommended, but if basically I'm asking, why should they get it if I don't think they're sexually active?
Dr. Khan?
At such a young age.
Yes, that is a wonderful question. It's very important to get children vaccinated before they're exposed to HPV, and that means, as Marianne pointed out, before they have any kind of sexual contact, because this vaccine is a preventive vaccine. It prevents one from getting the infection. And HPV is extremely common and is acquired very soon after a young person begins to have sex. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention did a national study recently in which they looked at rates of HPV across the country in young women of different age groups. And what they found was among the 14 to 19-year-old girls, 1 in 4 was already infected with a genital HPV type. In girls and young women 20 to 24, about 44%, or almost 1 in 5, were already infected with HPV. So one acquires HPV very quickly after starting to have sex, and so it's very important to vaccinate at a young age, at 11 to 12, before exposure. Another good reason to vaccinate at a young age is that the immune response is higher the younger you are. So girls 11 to 12 have a much, much better or more robust immune response to vaccination than young women who are older. So for those reasons, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommend that 11 to 12-year-old girls be targeted.
Thanks for your question, Victoria.
Thank you.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100 if you have a question or a comment. Dr. Will Sawyer has called in. Dr. Sawyer?
Hi, how are you today?
Just fine. What's your question?
Great. Actually, sort of two questions, very briefly, which are, since the male is the individual who perpetrates this infection, HPV, why not have a major initiative to vaccinate all males? And then second question, if you can hold on that, is since the vaccine doesn't have all the viruses that may cause cervical cancer, the concern for some of us is they maybe believe that they won't develop cervical cancer and won't get the correct follow-up routinely as they should over time. So thoughts about that, too.
Okay. So the first question is about male vaccination, and the vaccine, the quadrivalent vaccine, the vaccine that protects against 4 types of HPV, is recommended for young men between 11 and 21, and then 22 to 26-year-old young men who are considered to be at high risk. And men are not only responsible for transmitting HPV. Women, by the way, are responsible for transmitting HPV as well. But men also can develop HPV-related disease. So men can get genital warts, men can get anal cancer and penile cancer, they can get head and neck cancer, and rates of anal cancer and head and neck cancers are rising fairly rapidly in men. So it's not only a good idea, I think, to vaccinate men to prevent transmission to women, but also because they directly benefit from vaccination. And many folks are thinking about how to best promote vaccination of young men.
Thanks so much for your call. You had a comment earlier that I wanted to follow up on, and it was where you said that you want to do this early enough so they don't have exposure to HPV. But you can have HPV and not have cancer? Or, I mean, how does that work? I mean, I'm confused.
That's a great question. So there's, again, lots of different types of HPV. Some of them cause cancer, some of them don't. Some of them cause, like, the warts that you get on your hands. Some of them cause genital warts and don't cause cervical cancer. Some of them cause cervical cancer and don't cause genital warts or other warts in the skin. And so so the different types cause different disease. So you can certainly have different types of HPV.
Yes. Kathy's calling from Indian Hill. Hi, Kathy. What's your question?
Hi. I just wanted to know if it is too late for my son, who's 21, to receive the vaccine. He is sexually active, and I'm concerned about this. So I just wanted to know, is there a detection? I mean, if he does carry the virus, is he able to still have the vaccine?
Yes, it's perfectly safe for him to receive the vaccine even if he's already been exposed to HPV. And it's very likely, even if he's had sex before, that he is not infected with all the types that the current vaccines target. So the current recommendations from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, in which we follow, are to vaccinate young men and young women regardless of whether they have had sexual activity in the past. They're very likely to still get some protection from HPV. There's not a test on the market that we use routinely for young men or young women of that age to detect whether they have been exposed to HPV before, other than in the context of a Pap test in women. So for men, we don't have a commercially available test to determine whether they've been exposed to the types of HPV that are in the vaccine. But I would definitely encourage you to consider getting him vaccinated.
Does that answer your question, Kathy?
Yes, very much so.
Thank you
so much.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Our phone number is 513-419-7100. If you have a question or a comment, you also can put your questions on our Facebook page. That's 917-WVXU, or email us, talk@WVXU.org. Leslie's calling from Oxford. Hi, Leslie. What's your question?
Yes, my daughter is 4, and she has what's called molluscum contagiosum, and we were told that it is in the family of the HPV virus. Should we get her vaccinated?
Molluscum is caused by a different type of virus than the human papillomavirus. For her, I recommend for her probably like I would for any other young child and being vaccinated against HPV at age 11 to 12 when the vaccine's recommended. But at this point, the virus that's causing the molluscum is different than the virus that's in the HPV vaccine.
So it's not, because we were told by her physician that it is in the family. It's not in the family of the HPV virus.
The currently licensed vaccines will not protect against molluscum. They'll only protect against genital warts that are caused by HPV. So unfortunately, we don't have a vaccine at this point for molluscum.
Okay.
Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100. Tina's written in. She wants to know, does the vaccine last a lifetime, and who would administer it? Would it come through the pediatrician?
That's a great question. So the vaccine, at this point, what we know is that there's no recommendation for a booster dose for the human papillomavirus vaccine. They're doing, I believe, ongoing studies to follow the antibodies to make sure to see how long that response lasts. But at this point, there's no recommendation for a booster dose. The second part was who administers that vaccine. Often it will come through the pediatrician's office.
We also have another question, I believe, on our Facebook page. If a boy has fever blisters, would that prevent him from getting the vaccine?
No, that is not what we call a contraindication or a reason not to get the vaccine.
So if they have that, don't worry about that at all.
Not a problem in terms of getting the vaccine.
Let's talk about the whole idea of the role of the pediatrician in this. And you have been talking about this for, I assume, 8 years since it's come out. Have you found that parents are reacting differently over that time as they learn more about it? I know initially a lot of people were really afraid of it. What are you finding in your offices and your practices?
I think over time people have definitely become more comfortable with the HPV vaccine. Both providers, the more used to providing an intervention to a patient you are, the more comfortable you become. And I think parents are also becoming more comfortable. A lot of their friends are getting their kids vaccinated, and parents are talking to each other and talking to their pediatricians. And also over that time, we've had a lot of information about the HPV vaccine coming out, such as the study that we're here to talk about today, which helps, I think, deal with some of that anxiety that patients, parents, and the providers may have.
We have a question now from Mary in Oakley. Hi, Mary. What's your question?
Hi. Thanks so much for including this on your program. It's really informative.
Well, thank you.
I was just wondering, if you only have one sexual partner, do you still need to be vaccinated, or would you already have been exposed to the virus?
Dr. Khan?
Yes. It is important to be vaccinated, even if you've only had one sexual partner. So if you have not, if you're asking because you're wondering if a young person is anticipating having only one sexual partner in his or her lifetime, should you be vaccinated? The answer to that would be yes, because when you have sex with that person, they may have had sex with others and may expose you to the virus. Also, if you've only had one sexual partner in your lifetime, it may be that in the future you might have another partner. And so important to get vaccinated at the recommended age so that you're protected in the future should you have a second sexual partner. Does that answer your question?
I think she's hung up. Okay. So thank you very much. All right. We appreciate that. What about insurance? Is this covered by insurance now, or is it something that, that people would have to pay for on their own?
Yes, most private insurance companies, as well as Medicaid and the Vaccines for Children's program, cover the vaccine at least through age 18. There's less coverage for young people over age 18, but most private insurance companies still cover the vaccine through age 26 in girls and through age 21 in boys.
And if you have it, is it one shot, a series of shots? How does that work?
That's a great question. It's a series of vaccinations. So the initial vaccine is given. The next dose is given 2 months later. And then the third and final dose is given 4 months after that. So it's a series of three injections over a six-month period.
So what happens if you get the first one and then you don't come back?
So there's no recommendation to restart the series. So you can always get your second one, no matter how long it's been since the first one.
Until you're 25 or whatever the age limit is on
right,
that.
Right. We know that the vaccine, it has been studied best using that dosing schedule at baseline 2 months and 6 months. But there's no recommendation to need to start the series over.
Allison, being in school and studying and doing the work that you've done now, what about 5 or 10 years ago? Was this something you were aware of even before you were studying all of this? Is it something that someone in your peer group knew about?
I think this has kind of been an interesting study for me to do because I will actually turn 25 this year, which puts me kind of in the vaccination group at an age where I was aware of what HPV is and what it can cause. And when the vaccine came out, I was 18, 17. So, you know, I grew up in a kind of an age group where you're very knowledgeable about this. So, I would say when it first came out, I knew that HPV had a correlation to cervical cancer and it was important to get vaccinated. And then kind of as I've gone throughout my medical training, I've slowly gained more and more knowledge about both the vaccine, the virus, and kind of all of the medical sequelae that are involved with it. So,
good. Philip's calling from Fort Thomas. Hi, Philip. What's your question?
Hi. I had a girlfriend, ex-girlfriend of mine, that was tested positive for HPV. And I was wondering, should I feel obligated to tell any future person I'm going to have sexual relations with that I may or have HPV since I can't get tested myself?
That's a wonderful question and a complex one because what's important to know is that this is, of course, a personal decision on your part, whether you let someone know that you may or may not have been exposed to HPV. But also, I think important in your decision would be knowing that HPV is an almost universal infection. So at least 80% of people are infected with genital HPV at some point in their lives. It's extremely, extremely common. And in most cases, the infection is silent. That is, it doesn't cause any symptoms. It doesn't cause any problems. It doesn't cause cancer. It doesn't cause genital warts. And your body is able to handle that infection on its own. And you don't transmit it to anyone else. So, I hope that knowledge is helpful, but I would say it's always a good idea to consider having discussions like this with sexual partners in general about previous risks. And it's just, part of a healthy discussion when you start a new relationship. I hope that helps.
Philip, thanks so much for your call. And thank you all for being here. I want to remind everybody, we do have information and links on our website to the study and other information. And thank you so much. Appreciate it.
It was
thank
a pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
We've been talking about the HPV vaccine. My guests today were Assistant Chair of Academic Affairs and Faculty Development at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center and UC Department of Pediatrics Professor Dr. Jessica Kahn, Children's Hospital Assistant Professor of Pediatrics Dr. Tanya Mullins, and Allison Mayhew, medical student at UC College of Medicine and first author of a just-released HPV study. In a moment, we'll talk about beating the wintertime blues. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.